Well, today we're going to talk about evergreen trees.
Yeah.
These are called teepels right here. Okay? So teepels are...
Is that really a horticultural term? Crap.
Yeah, I mean, it's close.
Will you try not hitting your microphone?
I will try my best.
Good morning, America and Northwest Arkansas. My name is Mark.
And I'm Josiah, and you're watching... Watching or listening to Nuts on a Tree. Right before the show, we just goof off and talk and have fun.
You goof off, I talk.
Right before we start. So we're still kind of in the mood as we start. Hey, you're watching or listening to the Rockwell Farms Garden Show, Two Nuts on a Tree.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, today we're going to talk about evergreen trees.
Yeah.
Well, evergreen screens, trees, and specimen plants.
Yeah, we really want to focus on what evergreens work best for you, and what area you're needing them, and different kinds of evergreen trees.
And what they're used for.
Yeah.
Because we have actually, we've seen the light here in Northwest Arkansas. We have a lot of people moving in right next to the other person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about evergreen specimen trees, because we categorized it for people, specimen trees bring interest to a certain area like a garden or something of that nature.
Right.
12 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And then you have your evergreen shade trees, which let's talk about, you know, which ones, the differences of them.
Yeah.
And which one to plant for what reason. So.
And screens. The screens like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So I think it'll be
Really be going deep over that.
I think this time we're going to have a show worth listening to.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's our goal.
Speaking of show worth listening to, why don't we get into time to apply?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah. It is time to apply. This segment of the show is things that you should be applying to your garden or your landscape or your lawn as we speak. Our first in time to apply, are the kids home from school and you're dealing with ticks out in the yard? Or pests, bugs, fleas,
ticks,
mosquitoes.
Fleas. Yeah.
The first one is going to be Turf Ranger 2 by High Yield. This is a granular that you sprinkle out in your yard. Works best if you water it in or right before a nice rain. We've been getting a lot of that here lately. This is going to take care of all sorts of different pests in your lawn, so you and the kids can go out and enjoy it and not have to come back with bumps
and
bites all over you.
I call that the eradicator.
Yeah.
There is absolutely nothing it won't kill.
Or maybe you're just sitting out on your porch just trying to enjoy it or trying to enjoy the swing set out there with your kids. We've got the Sayonara by Martin. This is great, especially for those pesky mosquitoes. Works for a list of other insects as well. But this hooks up to your hose. You spray your yard with it so you can enjoy it.
Oh, can I comment?
Go ahead.
I use that. Look, your Sayonara gives you an instant kill because it's a liquid. Okay? That's why it's named Sayonara. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So I use Sayonara on all my trees, the shrubs, everything to get all the mosquitoes out, and the lawn to get an instant kill.
Yeah.
Your high-yield Turf Ranger 2 gives you a long residual.
Oh, yeah.
That's my... I mean, Sayonara, Salihaethrin, which is the main ingredient, does have a long residual, but I love the granulars following up with granulars.
Yeah, the reason that we like to share these products is because rather than you going and spending a couple hundred or getting a subscription to have somebody come out and do this for you, you can get
this stuff
really inexpensive, and you can do it yourself, save you a whole bunch of money, and save yourself from the bugs that are outside biting on you.
Exactly.
The other one, if you are out on your deck or picnic table area or whatever, this is the Yard Fogger.
That's my camping
this
spray.
This works amazing.
When we go camping, I use that for those gnats that bite you from the grass and so forth.
Yes.
I spray down the whole camp area to where we don't have that problem.
So this kills and repels. So if you're out trying to enjoy yourself by the grill or whatever, this is the way to go.
Right before a party, it works awesome.
Absolutely. Also, time to apply is the Bloom by Royal Gold Crown Jewels. Mm-hmm. We've had these guys out here on the show. Yeah. These guys are awesome. They really know what they're doing. But right now, your tomatoes, cucumbers are getting into bloom, getting into production. This is higher in phosphorus, which is going to help push those blooms and get you that good tasting fruit. It's also 17% in calcium.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have the flower fall. You're not going to have blossom end rot on your fruit, on your tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, whatever it may be. You're going to have really good tasting fruit.
So it's a three-step process. You first use the grow. And then you switch on over. This time of year, you need to be switching over to the bloom.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. I would switch over to this so that way you can get your production really going in the right direction. Yeah. When you start out and your plants are getting everything they need, they're less prone to diseases, pests, the whole gambit of things, and you're going to be a happy gardener.
And Josiah, honestly, I use that on a lot of the perennials in our landscape.
Yes. I'm just saying. Absolutely. You can use it on flowers, bedding plants, rose bushes, all sorts of stuff if you're needing that extra little boost for blooms.
All right. What else you got?
That's time to apply.
All right.
All right. That was pretty good.
I wore shorts today.
I wore shorts today. It's a little hot and sticky, even with the rain coming in.
Don't film my legs.
We're going to get you on that self-tanner. I like the premature button.
All right.
That's good.
Let's go directly to the comment section.
Hey, why don't we get in the comment section?
Yeah. All right. James says, this is good. Hey, this is awesome because we've gotten a lot of rain.
Yes.
We've gotten more rain than Seattle. Okay.
It seems like it.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, we were passing out umbrellas to customers.
Yeah.
So James calls and he says he has a weeping cypress. Okay.
Okay.
That's dropping its needles and yellowing.
Gotcha.
James, that's due to all the rain. Okay. I'll guarantee to you. What's going to happen is it might defoliate, which it's not dead. It won't die on you. It'll probably defoliate. What I highly recommend is, what was that liquid fertilizer that you talked about the other day?
Has to Grow plant.
Has to Grow.
By Medina.
I'd spray it with Has to Grow, and I'd actually use that as a drench for that. So I'd spray it and use it as a drench, and that sucker would come right back.
Yeah.
But I definitely would use a liquid fertilizer. So it's already drowned. I definitely use a liquid fertilizer so she can get a kickstart and have it come back up.
Yeah. Yep.
Miss Peters, which intensifies heat more, rock or mulch?
Oh, that's a really good question.
By far, rock.
Yeah.
Your rock, it absorbs heat. Rock absorbs heat, even the white rock, when you put down white rock.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for aesthetics, rock might look better. But if you want to consider better health of the plant, mulch is a lot better.
Yeah, I would even consider if you're starting out your bed, a great way to get around that is to put a thin layer of compost that can kind of absorb some of that heat, and then put your weed barrier, then put your rock down if you're using that as a bedding material.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with that.
Yeah.
Because your weed barrier will keep moisture in the soil.
Yeah, way your heat just isn't sitting right on top of the root system.
I get it. Yeah. And let me tell you the purpose of mulch, though. Mulch is to keep your plant from going wet, dry, wet, dry.
Yes.
Okay, which is very important in the summertime.
Yeah.
And it will keep it warmer in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So mulch does have it's not just for aesthetics. It does have a horticultural purpose.
Yeah, but if you're putting down weed barrier either way, I think you're going to be in the safe zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I prefer mulch, though.
Mulch is prettier.
I'm a mulch man.
It's very pretty. It does compost, and, you replace it and color fades, but it is beautiful.
Yeah.
Serves a lot of purpose.
All right. Do you have any comments?
I do have some comments. Okay. This one is from Lorraine Brown. I love my Bermuda grass here in southern New Jersey. Oh, we get a listener
from
Jersey.
Southern.
Well, right before the show, our producer was telling us that we have listeners in Germany and Russia. So I guess we're heard all over the world. That's kind of interesting.
Wow. We're international. We even go to New Jersey.
They're international. To New Jersey.
She likes her Bermuda in New Jersey.
Love my Bermuda. Only needs cut every 2 weeks, and I never have to fertilize. I've had it in my yard since I moved here 6 years ago.
No way. So once every 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Not so here, baby.
Not, no.
Here it's every other day.
Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like it. Well, so in different areas, different plants or grasses or trees are great for different areas.
Yeah.
This was commented on one of our videos I think me talking down on Bermuda.
Yeah, you down Bermuda. Yeah, you were hateful. You hated on
Listen,
Bermuda.
There's a time and there's a place for everything. And what our listeners might like might not be something I like, or what I like might be something that our listeners don't like. And that's okay.
Well, she's in a totally different zone.
Well, let me defend myself.
No, there's no defense.
The reason I don't like Bermuda is I think one, as a landscaper, one of the, I would say it's in the top three of common problems is how do I get Bermuda out of my flower beds?
Yeah.
That's creeping in. I've got it in my lawn. How do I get it out of my driveway if I've got a gravel driveway? It's just a really common problem. But the upside of Bermuda is it heals very fast.
Yeah.
Because it's a spreader. Right. And so it is an upside of having Bermuda.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Bermuda grass is what you call a C4 plant. C4 plants, they thrive on carbon. Okay, it's very aggressive. Like a kudzu is a C4 plant.
Okay, yeah, sure.
All right?
Yeah.
So Bermuda grass is like kudzu here in our zone, 6A, and further south. Now, the further north you go, kudzu is not a problem.
Now, listen, Bermuda grass is not a problem. We have a lot of customers that do love their Bermuda grass. Is it for me? No, because I have to clear it out of so many flower beds.
That's why I like fescue.
I could live without it.
A fescue is a much better grass for our zone.
It stays where you plant it.
Yes.
The fescue does. That's really my, you know, if you go up to Minnesota, most of their yards are fescue.
Right.
It's evergreen grass, does great through the cold.
12 months out of the year.
It's always green.
Yep.
Always green. But my favorite thing about it, going up there, is up in the more northern areas, there's no need for edging. Because your grass stays where your grass
is. I don't have edging in my landscape.
Sure.
Yeah. And I have the fescue.
So and I don't know. I just favor the fescue. And like I said already, you know, certain things are best in certain areas. Here for our area, no.
All right. You've justified yourself long enough.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. You got another comment?
I'm on the stand. Okay. This one's from Sandy Harmon. Great show, guys. Can't wait to see you both in a couple of weeks. Now, this was commented
a week ago.
Sandy.
Our Proven Winner Shrub Lady.
Yeah, from Proven Winner Spring Meadow is going to be here on the next week's show.
Next week?
Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
Dude, we are getting the Mama Jama.
Yeah, we need some applause for that.
Yeah, we need some. Yeah.
So we're pretty excited to have Sandy. In our videos past, we've had her on here.
Yeah.
Before
through the phone, though.
Yep, through the phone. She's going to be
here
in person.
She's such a sweet lady.
She's awesome.
And she's like the guru.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
We're going to have to shave and look good for that.
We would learn so much from her.
You need to trim your beard or do something.
I know. You sound like my wife.
we have the guru coming.
All right. Well, hey, why don't we get into our next segment is Plant of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Echinacea. Coneflower.
Yeah, so echinacea or the coneflower. Now, a lot of people need to know that this grows natively here. Now, these are some improved varieties with some different bit of color.
Oh, dude, that one's beautiful.
Is that not awesome?
Oh, pick it.
Yeah. Pick it? Yeah. Give me something to cut that flower.
Go ahead and cut that flower.
This one is double scoop watermelon deluxe.
Yeah, pick that one. Okay, now put it back on later. That's awesome. Man, that's like a raspberry.
I'll tape that back up.
That's like a raspberry color.
That plant is now discounted.
Man, that's awesome. No, I'm serious.
Is that not beautiful?
Hey, in past echinacea, you know, the center part where all the pistils are, it was just like really dull.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, you'd have your petals, which are yellow. But man, through genetics and stuff, that is beautiful.
Yeah,
what
so
is
they
this?
Have
what is
figured out, that one is double scoop watermelon. So they have figured out how to get us double flowering coneflowers. Yeah. And so much variety and different colors from white, yellow, red, pink, orange. I mean, the scale just goes on and on. Love this flower for its heat tolerance.
Oh, you can't kill it.
Its durability, its bloomability, because it just keeps on throwing out blooms through the summer.
Just don't put it in a waterlogged situation. That's my advice.
Yeah, I would definitely keep an eye out for that. This does great. I've said this before, but this does great in an area if you have a harder time getting the water hose out there. Of course, when it's getting established, you want to keep it watered when you first plant it. But other than that, it just comes back year after year. Very, very, very happy in most circumstances. But again, it just doesn't want wet feet.
All right, here you have Fiesta Orange.
Yeah.
That's cool.
This one.
Orange is, I know, that'll be that my rocks. Favorite.
Yeah. Now, we do have some of them. I forget what the name of it is. But in one plant, you'll have yellow, orange, and red blooms in the same plant.
What's that one?
That's a good question.
Oh, Powwow White. Powwow. Powwow came out a few years ago, so it's awesome.
Yeah.
And then what else you have? Well, that one's unnamed. Oh, Wild Berry, baby.
Yeah. So that one is a little bit closer to your native variety.
Yeah.
We do carry the native here, but right now I was just driving up through Missouri the other day. All of the native cone flowers are just up popping out and blooming. So this is your plant of the week.
Yeah, we specialize in perennials. You know what my favorite saying on perennials is?
Go ahead.
Plant once, enjoy forever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a banner that says that.
Is it up?
Yeah, we need to put it up.
Oh, my word. We need a marketing
person. No, you really do. You plant them once, you enjoy them forever. Now, there's a time and place always for annuals to get that great seasonal color, but your perennials, they come back year after year. You can buy them once and save money for the rest of the season.
All right, you told me to mention these rapid tests.
Yes.
Okay, there's two types of rapid tests. It's the soil test kit right here.
Mm-hmm.
In the soil test kit, It not only tests pH, but it also tests your potash,
mm-hmm.
all right, which is your P, your phosphorus, which is your pH, or phosphorus,
which is
and PHK is always how I remember it. So that would be your P. Phosphorus is your P,
yeah.
And K is your potassium,
yes,
which is potash,
yeah.
It also does your nitrogen. Now, nitrogen typically, when you have your soil tested, they will not test for nitrogen,
right?
Because nitrogen is so elusive.
Well, what I love about this is that rather than you having to send dirt in somewhere and all this, you can get this, and it's reusable, so you can keep testing until you're getting to the right areas you need.
That's
now,
a good point.
That is super important for people that are growing things that need more acidic soil, like blueberries, yeah. Or trying to get a certain color out of their hydrangeas that turn blue. So this is awesome to use. And then you also have the pH rapid test.
This is what I use a lot.
Yeah.
Because I grow raspberries and blueberries, especially my blueberries. I keep my blueberries anywhere between 4.5 to 5, okay, mm-hmm. in the pH sector. And that I like this. It looks very simple, like it doesn't work, but it does.
All you have to do is get your dirt wet, stick the prod down in there, and it will read your pH.
So it's very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we go through a lot of these shrubs, okay,
mm-hmm.
a lot of these evergreen shrubs, a lot of them will do better in acidic soils.
Many of them, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So this is something very handy to have. It lasts forever. I think I've had mine for like close to 30 years.
Yeah.
It's been around for a
The
long
one you have is... been used and used and used, yeah, and it still works, and
it's
absolutely accurate.
Yeah.
And so we really recommend those if you're trying to get and figure out what pH. This should have been in the comment section because we've had so many people ask about checking pH, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium in their dirt or soil.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get into the main body of the show, evergreens that work for you. Mark, I want to start out of all of these, or out of all of the evergreens you've ever grown in the last 30 or so years, what is your top, what's your top three sellers?
Top three sellers?
Yeah.
They'd have to be screens. The evergreen screens.
I can definitely see that.
Arborvita Green Giant.
Yeah.
And then you have your Emerald Green Arborvita.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one would have to be, things have really changed. Here lately, what would be the third one? Man, those two are so leading. What's that blue one that we use as a screen? And I can't ever remember the name.
It's going to be the, I would say it's either the Moon Glow or the Blue Arrow.
No, Blue Arrow.
Blue Arrow Juniper.
Blue Arrow is like hotcake city.
It is a really big, it's blowing up right now.
Yeah, it's a Juniper and the Blue Arrow. So those are the three main evergreens that we sell. But I really want to focus on the specimen trees.
Sure.
Because we're going to get to it. It's the last one we're going to talk about, that Siberian.
Oh, yeah.
The Siberian evergreen.
Spruce. Siberian spruce.
Oh, it's overwhelming.
Is what it is.
Okay.
Oh, man.
We're going to leave the best to last, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Christmas tree in your yard.
Yeah, and it grows really, really well here, and it's beautiful. It's full, but we'll get to that
one. We'll get to that later.
Awesome.
Cedar of Lebanon.
The Cedar of Lebanon. I love this one.
Guess where it comes from.
Go ahead.
Lebanon.
No kidding.
Dude, it's on their flag.
It is on their flag. That is interesting.
Yeah.
So this tree, I mean, all historically, is probably the number one talked about tree in all of ancient texts.
Yes.
The Bible.
Yeah.
Probably the number one talked about plant.
It's because of its strong, durable wood.
Yes.
It's a very strong tree. It tolerates the heat. It's hard to kill.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, in Lebanon, it gets 40 to 60 foot tall, but I wouldn't expect it to get that tall here.
Now, it does have the potential of getting 150 foot tall.
In Lebanon.
Yeah, but here, it's native in the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
But here, I would probably say it's only going to get about 20 foot tall here.
Yeah.
So don't freak out when you purchase this.
Yeah. Don't look at the tag.
It's not going to get that big. Okay.
We don't live in Lebanon. Here. Yeah. In Lebanon, you don't have the winters that we have, and the winters are what stunts it and keeps it from growing so fast. Yes. All right.
Now this grows in a nice kind of pyramidal, sparse to full shape, and it's a really beautiful tree. This one, go ahead.
It gives resilience. And glamour to the landscape, I think.
Yeah.
Those are the two words I'd have on the Lebanon cedar.
I think so. This is, we're going to be talking about some trees as a specimen tree. This one is great left alone or planted with maybe a few dappled around the yard in the landscape. Mm-hmm. It also works really great in a center island bed because this is not going to get that big, but it's going to give you color all year round.
Okay,
as well.
Now that goes for, that's why we're starting with these specimen trees.
Yes.
Because that goes for every evergreen that we're going to talk about first will be that evergreen that you want to put in a garden or out in the yard for a specimen.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Or close to the house. Some will be a weeping one that doesn't get that tall close to the house as a specimen tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
So keep that in mind when we're talking about these right here.
Sure.
All right. Next would be the Alaskan Blue Weeping Cedar. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, I planted one of these out in Pinnacle and, kind of like the nice area. And that sucker is beautiful.
Wow.
I mean, when you go up to the house now it's about two stories tall. And we're talking, I planted, I think, 25 years ago or something like that. It was like the parade of homes. They invited me to do their landscape. And that sucker is just... I mean, it's just,
it's
like a statue of horticulture.
The Alaskan Blue Cedar, what I would kind of compare it to for those of you who are listening is if you're familiar with the Blue Atlas Cedar, the Blue Atlas Cedar really stands out. It's like a pop right there. It's one of the first things you see because it's different. Your eye just catches it. The Alaskan Blue Cedar is kind of a toned down, soft version of that.
Yeah.
And it kind of cascades and weeps, but it really does have a place in virtually any landscape. Whether you're doing, a Japanese style design, or you're doing a modern contemporary, or you're doing a lodge style design, this will fit virtually in any landscape.
So you brought up the Blue Atlas Cedar, which the Blue Atlas Cedar is kind of like the Charlie Brown tree.
Yes.
I've always considered it the Charlie Brown tree. Very sparse.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It has the blue needles coming out everywhere.
Yes.
So it's very much a point of interest, and you can plant that close to the house because it grows straight up, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the Alaskan Weeping Cedar, it's more beefy, okay? Its branches come out. It's a lot more dense.
Nice and full.
Exactly. It's a lot more full, And you can see it a lot better because it is more beefy and full.
Yeah, but it's not going to get too big. Exactly. So this one only gets 10 to 15 foot tall, yeah. And it's only going to get up to 5 foot wide here in our area, yeah. With our climate. So it's not going to get that big. It's not going to overtake something, but it's really great way to soften an area and add something with a little bit of height, but also that year-round color.
Okay. Now about the Alaskan weeping cedar.
Yeah.
The first one is blue, and this one's just the Alaskan weeping cedar. It's more green. It's not as blue.
Right. So, well, its new growth is going to start off maybe a little bit hazy blue, but it is going to be that kind of sea green.
Yeah, and I did get a little bit mixed up. The one that I did plant out there in the Parade of Homes, that was the Alaskan weeping cedar.
Yeah.
Because it gets twice as tall.
Yes,
it'll get 20 to 30 foot tall.
Yeah. So, yeah, 20 to 30 foot tall and about 8 to 12 foot wide on this one.
And that's exactly the way it looks now, the one that I planted 25 years ago.
You do want to make sure you give this one a little bit of room. But I do want to talk about the Alaskan cedar. This does good with a whole bunch of different soil or dirt types.
Yes.
And so it can handle a plethora of things. And its zone is very versatile. So this can be planted virtually
kind of throughout the country.
Throughout the country, yeah. From zone 4 down to zone 8.
Yeah.
And so this has a wide range of plantability.
And it kind of has a silhouette of droopiness again.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a robe. You know how a robe, see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's kind of
droopy. Yeah. It's like a big green robe.
I love that.
Yeah. It brings, I would say it brings drama and elegance to the garden and the landscape.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to have to pronounce the next one so I don't mess it up and we don't have to bleep me.
Oh, Carl Fuch. Yeah, Carl Fuch. The Deodor cedar.
Cedar.
Carl Fuch is a variety of the Deodor cedar.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a very popular one. It has moderate growth rate, means not fast, not slow.
Yeah.
And it'll get about 20 to 40 feet.
Yeah, 20, 40 foot, and it's probably going to get about 10 to 13 foot wide.
Yeah, so it's really nice because it brings that elegant blue into the landscape.
Yes.
That's why people like it. It's kind of like the blue hue.
Yep. So as we're talking about this, those of you who are listening, you want to look and see what these look like. The picture of these trees is going to be up on the screen.
Yeah, I think our producer Jessica is going to go through the nursery and check it out. Okay, now we have a little technical difficulty.
I think that needs to be tightened there. There we go.
Low budget.
Awesome. But yeah, the Deodor cedar, this is a great specimen tree. Now, but it does get a little bit bigger. So I would recommend you could put this a little bit closer to the house. But this would be great, especially if you have that teardrop shape, or if you're wanting to soften the side of your yard and kind of give a little bit of that more woodsy look.
Yeah.
I have seen the cedars like this planted kind of on the outskirts of the house where the property line is meeting the neighbor.
Yeah.
And it gives you more of a secluded feel, which is what I really like.
It kind of an organic.
Yeah.
Organic look. Okay. Now let's go to the exact opposite. That'd be the Taylor juniper.
Yes.
It is a non-organic, more formal look.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Taylor juniper came out years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I think that they were kind of a lot cheaper. Now they're expensive because they've really caught on.
They have really caught on. So kind of similar to the Blue Arrow, which we'll get into. Now, the Taylor juniper, this gets about 10 to 15 foot tall.
Yes.
And really, this, you know, on the tag, it says about 5 foot wide. I have never, ever seen it that wide.
No.
Typically, it gets about 3 foot wide.
And I think it gets taller. It gets about 15, 20 foot tall.
Wow.
Yeah, because I've seen that in the entryway. Was it Top Golf? Top Golf loves these.
Yes. Yep.
Those are Taylor junipers at the entrance of when you go in Top Golf.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I love using upright trees like this, like your Taylor juniper or your Blue Arrow juniper. I love using these to frame in a house. And so maybe softening corners on a house.
Okay. Yeah.
Or framing a landscape.
putting it on the edges of right where the corner of the houses are.
Right.
Yes.
It kind of grows up, yep. Softens that corner, frames the house.
And spreads the eye. By framing the house, you're talking about spreading the eye.
Absolutely.
To where they see the whole landscape.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it kind of makes it, what's great about maybe doing that in the landscape is you can have one flower bed on this side of the house that looks completely different from this side of the house. But when you frame the house with something pillar-esque like that, mm-hmm. it literally just brings it all together like it flows.
Okay. Yeah, I like it because you can plant anywhere.
Yes.
Shoot, man, you can put that in rocky soil, alkaline soils, and it does just fine.
Oh, goodness.
It's kind of hard to kill.
I want to say, though, I have also seen these lining somebody's driveway or an entry. I have seen that
Now you're talking big houses.
Yes, kind of like the Italian cypress would.
Yes.
The Italian cypress look.
Okay, the Italian cypress will not live here because it will not tolerate our heat. This is a good substitute for the Italian cypress.
Because our heat is humid heat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good point.
It is a really great one. And what I want to point out about most trees that are juniper is once they're established, there's virtually no maintenance to do to them because they're drought tolerant. They can handle a whole bunch of crap from the environment or from you, and they do wonderful.
Yeah. Is that really a horticultural term? Crap.
Yeah. I mean, it's close. It'll do.
Let's talk about the teddy bear magnolia.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Teddy bear magnolia is a new variety of magnolia. It's more, I'd say, a dwarf magnolia that came out a few years ago. And I think it's called the teddy bear because it has a round leaf to it, kind of like the ear of a bear.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm thinking.
And that dark brown, fuzzy underside of the leaf.
Yeah.
Could be.
Teddy bear magnolia is also called, I think, the southern charm magnolia.
Yes.
We call it the teddy bear.
Yeah.
I like that name.
I love that one because it's more of a petite magnolia.
Yeah, it'll get 16 to 20 foot tall.
Right. Yeah. If you love the southern magnolia look, you can go for the teddy bear if you don't have the room.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a miniature magnolia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, except it's a lot shorter, a lot smaller.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I like how you mentioned the coppery red underneath the leaves.
Yes.
Because I've had people call up here saying I got a fungi on my magnolia. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to tell you this. So, I've had this happen a few times where I'm loading up magnolia trees. And so what we do is we load them up on the trailer standing up, and then we lay them back on the trailer and we put a cover over them. Well, so when we lay them back, when we pull up somewhere, the only thing you see is all of these brown leaves.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we have drove up to a few different jobs with magnolias and had customers go, "You brought me brown dying trees."
Oh, my word.
And we're like, no, just wait.
Oh, my
word. We stand it up and it's green and beautiful.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Just the underside of the leaf is that brown, so it can fool you.
We should probably note that on the tags.
Yeah.
The brown is normal.
Brown is normal. Underside leaf. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Little gem magnolia.
Now, I have those planted personally as a screen.
Yes, and I planted those personally as your screen.
I know. I didn't have any choice.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love the little gem magnolia because it's kind of a mid-size. Can get up to about 20, 25 foot.
Yeah.
And but it's kind of a mid-size. So, there really is now a magnolia for every circumstance.
Yeah. Little gem magnolia, I like those to be like in the center of the yard with something planted around it. Like
absolutely.
A flower bed or some shrubs. And it's a very good freestanding specimen tree, little gem magnolia. And the cool thing about it, even though it's a dwarf magnolia, which would be about 15 to 20 foot tall, it still has that big white bloom.
Yes.
Hey, let me tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Now, on your magnolia, you have, these are called tepals right here, okay? So tepals are the outside protective layer of the magnolia. So inside you have your reproductive place where you have your pistils and your stamen. But the tepals around it, they're not petals. These are sepals.
Mm.
So they kind of incorporate petals and sepals together.
Kind of like a maybe dogwood? Is that the same circumstance for dogwood?
No, dogwoods are different. Those are bracts.
Okay.
Which is a which is totally different. The main purpose of your tepal is to protect the reproductive system of the plant.
Wow.
Same thing on roses, except they use petals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the outside, it looks like a petal, but it's not. These are the petals inside. This is your tepal.
Wow. That's really good to know.
Yeah.
Wow. How interesting.
I can go on more, but my sheet blew on the floor.
Well, it protects it, but it looks so beautiful.
Yeah.
Magnolia.
And they smell good, too.
Oh, yeah.
My mother-in-law cuts the blossoms of a magnolia, puts them in water for when we go on over there this time of year, and you can smell them all through
as soon as you walk through the door.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah.
It's like burning a candle.
Well, we were just walking. It was just a couple weeks ago when we were walking by the magnolias. It's like mm-hmm. the scent. You know, on the cartoons when they smell something and they go, oh, you know, that's like that's what it is for me when the magnolias bloom. It just attracts you right over to it.
Yeah.
It smells beautiful. It is the best scent that I think you could get out of some flowers.
I'd agree with that. Mm-hmm. It makes a really good cut flower from a tree.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, what do we have next?
Well, you know, we don't really have it on here, but the southern magnolia, the one that we...
I skipped that.
We see the most go out of here. Now, that is...
Bracken's Brown?
Bracken's Brown Beauty.
Yeah.
You know, that one is the one I think that we sell the most of because mm-hmm. it does so well here. Now, what you want to keep in mind for those of you who are listening is your magnolias are considered a semi-evergreen. And so you will have some shedding if we have a hard winter. But we're keeping them in the evergreen because the varieties that we're talking about do so well here.
Mm-hmm.
They are evergreen here.
Yes.
And so, but the Bracken's Brown Beauty, this is going to get more of a full size, can get up to 45 foot tall of a shade tree, but it's a slower growing. It's not a super fast growing tree.
But so it's still grandiflora.
But it is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. If you want to get the bang for your buck, go for the Bracken's Brown Beauty.
Yeah.
Southern magnolia really is the way to go.
And it's not part of our screens, mm-hmm. but a lot of people will use that as a screen if they have a big yard.
Because it's so dense and full
exactly.
at all times.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
It is. Man, it's beautiful. I love driving through Pea Ridge here in Northwest Arkansas, driving up the main road going into Pea Ridge. I mean, there's these monstrous, beautiful Bracken's Brown magnolias planted on different sides of the road. And it really is just a beautiful show, especially when they're in bloom.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want to talk, Scotch Pine.
Yes, Scotch Pine.
Pine is the bestest. Vestigia.
Vestigia.
Yeah.
Vestigia, which basically means that narrow. It's more of an upright columnar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because typically your normal Scotch pine will get really big.
Yeah.
But this one is more narrow, meaning it's about 6 to 8 foot wide, and it'll get that 20 to 25 feet tall. Now, it's a columnar Scotch pine. I'm really glad they came out with this variety because the Scotch pine is a very hardy pine.
Well, I'll tell you what, upright evergreens are really making a hit, and they have mm-hmm. been for the last few years. People are, you know, as the population is growing here in our area, houses are getting closer together, so they want the tree, but they don't want it to overwhelm and tower over their neighbor's yard or vehicles and stuff. So upright evergreens are really getting big right now because of that.
And the columnar Scotch pine is not too wide. Okay,
right.
6 to 8 foot wide. But it's just if you're wanting to put it along your property line as a screen, mm-hmm. so not everybody's looking into your yard, I think that's where that fits in.
Yeah.
Big screen.
I would say so too. Another one is kind of if you're wanting a grander entrance to your driveway, mm-hmm. is just plopping one on each side. Because it doesn't get wide, you still have tons of room to plant around it to where it's not blocking the sun from the other things. And so you can really get a whole bunch of interest on that entrance of the driveway.
And that makes it a good specimen tree.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, this is one of my favorite.
I know it is.
Yeah, the Vanderwilf Pyramidal Pine.
Tell me why this is your favorite.
Okay. Here's another one that I planted probably 25, 30 years ago out there in the Little Flock area.
Mm.
And it was only 6 to 8 foot tall when I planted it. And that sucker got up 20, 25 feet tall.
Wow.
Very pyramidal, very formal. It's soft needles, and it keeps its shape. I'm telling you, it is of the pine trees, of any pine tree that you want to plant for a specimen plant, you cannot beat that Vanderwolf pine.
Now, this one is pretty versatile in the soil or dirt type that it can be planted in, from rock, sand. It can tolerate some clay. So this is a really good one. If you're not sure what kind of pine, you really don't have to worry about where you're planting this
Right,
one.
And it only needs about six hours of sunlight a day, so it's very versatile on full sun or part sun. The one I planted was in full sun. So we're in zone 6A, and that sucker just really thrived here. So I love the Vanderwolf. That's probably my favorite pine tree.
Bosnian pine. Tell me about the Bosnian pine, because I know you like that one as well.
Yeah, it actually comes from Bosnia. Yeah, it actually comes from that area. It's not native here. It's native in Bosnia. And Bosnia is an extremely hot place, okay?
Okay.
So it will definitely tolerate the heat here. The Bosnian pine, once again, 15 to 25 feet wide, and it gets about 25 feet tall. It has two needles. I think that they're twisted. Two needles twisted.
Yes, I have seen that. Yep. Kind of a twirl in them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good specimen tree, Bosnian pine.
Wow.
Hard to kill. Likes it'll tolerate the heat, which a lot of the pine trees won't tolerate the heat. So it's very resilient, and it's notable for its cold hardiness. So you get everything from one tree.
Okay, well, the next one I want to talk about, because I actually did not like this one at first when we started getting these in.
What?
But they have grown on me, and they're actually one of my favorite evergreens now. It is a Cupressina Norway spruce.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a Norway spruce that grows upright. We actually started selling them when we were doing a Christmas season. We're selling them because some people want live trees, they were decorating them. But after people started sending in photos of them decorated, I started to like them. But then once I started seeing them planted in the landscape, I started to fall in love even more with them for the different uses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your Cupressina Norway spruce will get 20 upright. To 30 foot. Generally, though, in our area, the tallest I have seen them was about 15, 20 foot.
And about 6 foot wide,
Not very wide
so
at all.
So it's a narrow, upright evergreen.
It is, yeah.
Is that one that you would also use as to frame a house to spread the eye?
Certainly, I would. Now, this one does a whole lot better in full sun, you know, at least 6 or more hours of sun.
All right.
But this one does really, really good. The one thing I would say is don't give this one an area where it's catching a downspout drain. Okay, so
No evergreen likes wet feet.
No, this one definitely doesn't like wet feet. But because of that, if you have an area that kind of stays dry, have a hard time watering, this one does really great for that. But it grows really well. If you love the spruce look and the spruce smell, but don't have the room, or you want to do a line or whatever you want to do with this tree, because it's very versatile.
Yes.
Very versatile.
And it's very good in the wintertime, and it has very strong stems. To where if you get a heavy snow load up north,
it's not bothered.
Not bothered at all.
Yeah, not bothered.
Okay, now you've come to my favorite.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, this is the Siberian spruce. And like I was talking to Josiah before the show, this is our new Christmas tree. Because people that want live trees, they want a pyramidal form, strong branches, but yet soft needles.
Yes.
It's gorgeous.
Yes.
I can't wait till Jessica, our producer, puts a picture of it.
Yeah,
because it is, in my opinion, this is one. It's just beautiful. I like it. Okay, of the spruces, it's probably my favorite spruce. Just like Vanderwolf pine is my favorite pine.
Yeah. So the Siberian spruce, this one is also very versatile on where you can plant it, because it tolerates urban conditions, it tolerates drought, it tolerates cold climates.
Very hard to kill.
The whole gambit of things, it is. It's hard to kill.
Yeah.
And so one of the things with some of the other spruces that we've sold, that we've seen or sold in the past, or we've had complaints, I don't want that one, is that they get needle casts. This one is a very easy spruce to grow.
And it's a moderate to fast grower. Mm-hmm. Most of your spruces just be the moderate grower, but this is a lot faster.
Yes.
Yeah. And I love it when the new growth comes out. So, I mean, I cannot say enough about this one. It's one that sings and dances at the same time.
So one that's not on here that I do want to talk about is the Colorado blue spruce, because there's different kinds of the Colorado blue spruce that work amazing at being a specimen tree.
All right. So let's talk about the fat. Hey, hey, hey.
The fat Albert. Yeah. Love the fat forever. Albert. Yeah, that one I would say is one of my favorite. That and the Baccarai.
Yes.
Those two grow really, really well here. They actually grow pretty fast.
Yeah.
And so I love this one in the landscape. If you're looking at your landscape from face front, having this somewhere in there gives kind of layering to your landscape.
Because of the branches layer.
Yeah, and most things that you see are green and the blue on this.
And, yes. And
really gives contrast.
You know what I really like? The spruces. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Colorado blue spruce. It looks best in the spring when you get that
soft growth.
You get that blue color up against the grayish blue, it's fabulous. Yeah. It's like a decorated tree. I love it.
Now we have a lot of people that plant those as well.
Yeah.
So they have something to decorate when the Christmas season comes.
Now your Baccarai is more narrow than the Fat Albert, right?
Yes. Yeah, I would say so. Your Fat Albert, as it grows and it matures, it will have some branches that are a little bit more poofed and out, which is why I like it, because it's different. It's not just a straight pyramid of branch and growth, but both of those have a great place in the landscape. And again, the layering it can have as a specimen tree.
I think you get more layering out of the Fat Albert than you would the Baccarai. That's my opinion.
Maybe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome. Screen trees.
Okay, so that concludes our section of the specimen ornamental evergreens. Mm-hmm. All right. So now let's talk about, the screen
trees. Now, screen trees, the reason we have listed these is typically people can plant these really, really close to each other, and they don't compete. And what I mean by that is if you go into a forest or if you go into the woods and you see... or we see it a lot with new built houses where they say, hey, I want a couple of these trees left when you clear the property. And they leave those trees and this tree grows straight up, has no branches for forever, and that has branches on top. Why that tree is doing that is it's competing with other trees for light. Mm-hmm. And so if there's no light down here, it's not going to put out branches so it can get the light up here. The screen trees that we're talking about, they don't compete with each other.
Yeah.
So they're not going to grow funny or away from each other like some trees do. They're going to grow next to each other like they're one tree.
Okay, a good case in point would be the Arborvitae Green Giant.
Yeah.
A lot of people, how wide is Arborvitae Green Giant? If it's planted alone, you'll get 10 to 12 foot wide. Would you agree?
Up to 15.
Okay, to 15. Now, the cool thing is, if you plant them closer together, they will grow. Let's say you plant them every 16 foot or every 8 foot.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're going to grow into each other, and each one will be that 8 foot.
Yes.
And it will not just be 8 foot from tree to tree. It'll be 8 foot all around. I don't really understand
Correct.
It. It's not like you'll have an 8 foot by 15 foot wide tree.
Right.
They do really well. I can't explain it, but it's just a total God thing. And now, I really like that about those.
Now, when you're doing screen trees, there is the recommended spacing of each tree. Now, what I would recommend if you're doing a privacy screen or light pollution or noise pollution screen, whatever it is throwing that out the window.
Yeah.
Throwing your spacing out the window and budding these up a little bit closer. So, for example, where a green giant arborvitae might be recommended space of 12 foot, you're not going to do that because you're going to be waiting for a long time. There's going to be gaps between your trees.
Okay, yeah. Because what you're saying is screens is nothing but time or money.
Yes.
Money and time dictates what tree you're going to put in there for a screen.
Right. Either you're going to be waiting a long, long time to get the results you want, or you can just put them, a few feet closer. So on screening, like your green giant arborvitae, I would recommend 8 to 10 foot. Mm-hmm. 10 foot's kind of pushing it. I would recommend a little bit closer to 8 foot, center to center.
10 foot would be for someone that has more time than money.
Correct.
Eight foot is for someone that has more money than time.
Yeah, I would say so. So if you're wanting a screen and you're wanting it now, throw that spacing out the window.
All right. So let's just go down.
Yeah.
All right. Screen. Arborvitae DeGroot Spire. Now, that's one you really like.
Yes, I do like this one.
Tell me about that.
Okay, so what I like about this one gets 15 to 20 foot tall and about 5 to 6 foot wide. So to me, this is a way better replacement for like the emerald green. And I'll tell you why, because it does get a little bit taller. It gets just a hair wider. But I think this one has a more of a green emerald kind of color. It does much better, but the top does not split under stress.
Okay, that's very
stress
huge.
Of snow or stress of ice. The top does not split, doesn't bow down and stay like that if we have an ice storm. Really important if you don't want to plant, you know, let's say you plant 15 trees for a privacy screen. The first snow we get, they're all split.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
And these are things that any reputable nursery will discuss with you ahead of time, because that arborvitae emerald green might be cheaper, but you'll pay for it in the long run.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's. I'm so glad you pointed that out.
Yeah.
Because, well, I also want to say, first off, the DeGroot, because it all of your arborvitaes generally grow fairly faster. Now, they grow at different rates. Your emerald green arborvitae can grow up, let's say, about half a foot to a foot per year. Mm-hmm. Your DeGroot can grow up to 2 foot per year, which is huge. So just kind of once it's established, you'll start to see that closer foot to 2 foot growth. Now you're, you know, we talked a little bit about the green giant arborvitae. That one is, if you are wanting a screen and you're wanting it right then and now, that's really the route to go, because that one grows. It can grow up to 2 to 3 foot per year once it's established.
All right. Now you mentioned arborvitaes a lot. I want to talk about the Northern Spire. That's a new variety that's come out.
Go ahead.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, Northern Spire.
So it's more narrow than your arborvitae green giant, am I correct?
So it is more narrow than your arborvitae green giant, but it stays a little bit more petite. Now, the spire, rather than all of those leaves coming kind of straight up like this, this one kind of has a twirl in the foliage on the spire, which is pretty interesting. Yes, it works wonderful as a screen, but it can also be used as a specimen tree as well because of all of that interest
and the
leaves kind of swirling like that.
Okay, cool beans.
Yeah.
We've talked about the green giant a lot. Just grows, but the one thing about the arborvitae green giant that does need to be noted is that it's in pyramidal form.
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. So you won't get much of a screen on top.
Well, that's why you want to plant them closer, because anything that's pyramidal, you want to keep in mind that if you've got one right next to it, you're going to have this big triangular gap in between that up top. And so why planting those closer is because you're going to get that to raise up a whole lot taller.
The way that you, and have you ever considered this, is mixing your evergreens?
Absolutely. Like, we do it quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could put in a magnolia in between your arborvitae green giants.
That's
where
funny
your magnolia has a bigger canopy.
Up top.
Right? Up top. And then your arborvitae green giants will kind of grow into that. And now you have a really nice screen of interest.
Absolutely.
It's 20 to 30 foot tall.
So I'll tell you what, a couple years back, we had planted some trees and they were green giants and they had them next to each other. And then they had the, now, because those are pyramidal, so you have that gap up top, right? They also planted the, it was a blue Atlas cedar in the middle where it bushes out and fills that gap. And so there's many different ways that you can cover that gap, whether you want to stagger your trees, you know, stagger them in rows, or just butt them closer, or have something that fills up top. I've also planted crepe myrtles in between the green giants, because the crepe myrtle flowers come and fill that gap up top, and then
that'd be pretty.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
Yeah.
All right, now tell us about the Hetzai arborvitae green giant.
Hetzai
means
means
it's a lot more narrow.
Yes,
but it grows just as fast.
Now it's a little bit more sparse, I would say.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more sparse on the sparse side, but it is a very beautiful tree, and it does really great as a screen. But I will say it is most drought tolerant out of all of the arborvitae.
Yeah.
Your hedgeye.
I like it because it doesn't get as wide as your arborvitae green giant.
Mm.
Okay. And because, look, if you have a fence in the back, you do not want to take up a lot. Let's say you have a small yard with the fence,
mm-hmm.
okay, which is a problem for a lot of people. So you want an evergreen that doesn't get over 6 foot wide.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep, yep.
So if you wanted to plant them closer together, I would go with the hedgeye arborvitae green giant rather than the normal arborvitae green giant
mm-hmm.
because it won't take up as much yard space.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
And we'll get into other ones that only get 2 to 3 foot wide as well. But you see, the more narrow of the evergreen that you have, the more it's going to cost you. Okay? Because
yes.
you're spacing. Because
you're going to have to get more trees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, like I said, it's nothing but time or money.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of wager the two.
Yes. Now, I will say things like your American pillar, because I think we're going to get on to American pillar. So
I think I left that off the list.
Well, we're going to do it anyway. American pillar arborvitae. Now, if you are, because this is a very common problem with people that are wanting screens around their pool.
Yeah.
It's because they don't have the room for the green giant that right. gets up to 12 foot wide right on the back side of the pool up against the fence. If you can get the same look from the American pillar that yeah. gets 5 to 6 foot wide, but still gets that 20 to 30 foot tall out of that one, and you still get the same look.
Would you say that the American pillar is a good substitute for the emerald green?
No, I wouldn't. And here's why. Because it's closer to the lines of... it's closer to the lines of the green giant, and it does have the potential of getting up to 30 foot tall, okay? Where your emerald green arborvitae gets about 10 to 15 foot tall, 15 foot tall at most here in our zone, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would say that the best for that is going to be your spire. Your green spire arborvitae or your degroot would probably be your better substitute for your emerald green.
All right.
Yeah.
I'd do it.
I have also
I think that'd be stinking cool to have like a 30 foot screen around my pool
at our other property in Springdale.
I mean, nobody wants to swim with other people looking at them.
No, that's very awkward, especially if you've got a two-story house next to you.
Yeah,
and they're just peering down into your pool.
But I get what you're saying.
In your skippies,
I would put the arborvitaes. If I had a pool and mm-hmm. someone had a two-story house next to me, I would put the taller evergreens up against the fence and the smaller evergreens around the pool. And that brings us to our next one, which would be the Blue Arrow.
Blue Arrow
is outstanding.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. That is a good screen to put where... whenever you're dealing with screens, you have to consider the point of view.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you have a two-story house looking down at your swimming pool
mm-hmm.
or a two-story house looking down on where you like to sunbathe or something of that nature, right, which we call intimate areas.
Yes.
You would put those blue arrows closer to your intimate area
yeah.
with your bigger screens out between you and the two-story building.
So this one right here, along with the degroot,
mm-hmm.
We have planted those around a hot tub area where you want to be in the
yes.
hot tub, but
exactly.
you don't want the neighbors seeing you and all that.
Yeah.
But this is great. Those are great around the hot tub because it can be close, very closely planted, mm-hmm. but because of the density, you can't see through them. So
yeah.
they get 10 to 15 foot tall, which is ideal.
Skinny
and tall. Plant them real close to each other.
For the small intimate areas don't have a big width with the planting.
Definitely.
So the Moon Glow would also flip the bill on that. It's a little wider.
Yeah, about 8 foot wide.
Yeah, I don't think that wide, really.
I think 6 to 8 foot is its, 6 to 8 foot.
All right. Well, I like the moon glow.
Well, what I love about the moon glow is because if you don't want to get as many trees, but you want the same look as the as the blue arrow, get the moon glow, so that way you don't have to purchase as many.
Well, and people need to consider that we're talking about its natural growth.
Yeah.
We're talking about no pruning, no trimming whatsoever.
Correct.
These evergreens can be trimmed.
Anything can. Yeah.
Anything can be trimmed. So if you did go with like the moon glow in a 3-foot area, it can work.
Yes.
Okay.
It's kind of like the Spartan juniper.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now you're getting ahead of me.
Yep. Spartan juniper.
Yeah. We still have the Skyrocket.
Skyrocket.
It's like a pencil.
It is like a pencil. A lot like the arrow, but it is more of a straight up.
And it's straight up.
Yeah.
It is straight up. Skyrocket used to be real popular, okay, years ago. It kind of lost its popularity because there were other varieties that would flip the bill. But the Skyrocket, in my opinion, is the most narrow evergreen that you could possibly plant.
Okay.
It's extremely narrow. Every plant has its place.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you have a really tight area, I've seen it to where they only have 2 foot around a pool to plant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Skyrocket would flip the bill on that.
Yeah, I would say that's a really good one.
Yeah.
The Spartan Juniper, because I know we're running short on time.
That's one of my favorites, too, Spartan. Yeah.
Spartan Juniper gets a 5 to 6 foot wide. Mm-hmm. Now, that's another one, and 15 foot tall, around 15 foot tall. That's another one that is very fast growing, very, very, very drought resistant.
Yep, can't kill them. You see those in landscapers like to use them.
Yeah, but also people will, with the trimming that you mentioned, people will trim those to make them a nice narrow. I personally, myself, I love the natural branching that comes out here and there. I think they're beautiful. I like the natural look of them best, but they certainly can be trimmed if you're in a more uniform
area. Remember when we went to Cleveland, okay, and we were taking a look at the bean, you know, it was a very popular tourist attraction.
Sure.
And I saw those Leland cypresses way far away.
Yes.
They trimmed them into a hedge.
Leland cypress, yes. Right? That's another great one.
Dude, that was a, 20-foot tall hedge that went forever?
You know, when it comes to landscaping and creativity, it is great thinking outside of the box. You don't have to, just because a tree is shaped like it is, especially a screen tree, doesn't mean it has to be. I have seen people go on 15-foot emerald green arborvitaes and box them like a big, tall hedge. Just go with their chainsaw and go.
Exactly. You know? So take the tip out.
Yeah, absolutely. So they grow in really nice and full, make a beautiful hedge. Whether you're trying to get a nice natural look, and you like that look, or you want a more uniformed, English style garden look.
Mm-hmm. All right, the last one on the list would be the columnar Scotch pine. We kind of touched on that earlier. Scotch pine is one that is very hard to kill. It has twisted leaves, double leaf needle, and very drought tolerant, hard to kill. Columnar Scotch.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's about all I need to say on that.
Okay.
Well, let's go with your shade trees.
Shade trees. The best for our area,
I have three
opinion.
Favorites, and those are the ones that we have here at the nursery. Go ahead.
So,
white pine, ponderosa. Go ahead, and then I rattle
them
off.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I'm so rude.
Eastern white pine. Go ahead. Yeah. Eastern white pine.
Eastern white pine is one of those really soft shade trees, okay?
Yeah.
And the cool thing about it, tolerate ice storms.
So this is my favorite evergreen.
It will bend all the way to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will pop right back up.
Yep.
When that tornado happened was it last May? When that tornado happened.
Oh, yeah, it was this time last year.
The trees that were standing, the oaks were down, all of these strong, resilient trees, they were down. But the white pines were happy, living life, untouched.
Yeah.
So really, really good tree. And the beautiful pyramidal shape with the lateral branching is just awesome.
Now, I want to talk about the ponderosa pine because when you're talking about a really tall screen type pines, this is it. This is the one that's really tall. It's if you want a 50-foot wall, that is your ponderosa pine.
Yeah.
All right. And now our last one because she's staying. We're out of time.
I'm going to say the loblolly pine.
That is Arkansas native tree.
Yes, it's the Arkansas state tree.
Yeah.
loblolly pine is an absolute beautiful tree, very easy to grow here in our area.
Grows really fast.
Very fast.
And I like them in groups of three if you're just going to plant them alone.
Yeah, nice little false groves.
Very soft. Okay. So, all right, that wraps it up for our show because we've run out of film.
Our producer is...
folks, thank you so much for listening to Two Nuts on a Tree. We hope this show, we were informative and you actually learned something.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next time. You can find us if you're new to the show. You can also find us on anywhere you find a good podcast streaming service.
Yeah.
And so you can find us on all sorts of places. But you can also go on YouTube. YouTube, you can comment down below. You can ask gardening questions. We answer those on the show for our comment section segment.
Oh, good. Go to rockwellfarmsnursery.com.
Absolutely.
And it goes straight to our phones or our computer, and we answer those. Hey, next week, who's going to be here?
It is going to be Sandy Harmon from Proven Winner Spring Meadow Color Choice Shrubs.
Yeah, we're going to learn a lot from her.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll just shut up and learn.
Yeah, I think we should. So stay tuned for that. Our favorite person is coming to our show next week, so...
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. We'll talk to you next time.